Okay, Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for this strange and wonderful and empowering passage. And we ask, Lord, that it would be wonderful to us this morning, or whenever we're listening to it, would it be wonderful to us as we learn exactly who you are in all the incidents and all the incidents of life and all the concerns we have and everything we're looking to you for. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to spend a long time on the first part of my talk, which is the unusual bit about the commander that comes to visit Joshua. And I want to spend a little bit of time on the very familiar bit, which is the fall of the Jericho wall. Are you for us or for our enemies? When you have someone standing with a sword in front of you, especially when that someone is called the commander of the Lord's armies, that's a pretty understandable question. The drawn sword, we imagine it glinting in the sunlight, the impressive title, commander of the Lord's armies. The expectation that Joshua had of war in enemy territory, it's an understandable question. Are you with us? We're going to look at three things. The first thing we're going to look at is what I've called a mysterious identity. So as I've said, this is an understandable question. Are you on our side, mate? Remember, the Israelites have not come into Canaan on a holiday. They've crossed the Jordan. Chapter 4, verse 12 told us, this is before our reading, that they're ready for battle. Verse 13 of chapter 4 tells us, about 40,000 armed for battle. 40,000 people ready for battle. And think what it would look like to see all these people cross over into the promised land. They are seriously ready for war. And life with God is always some kind of battle. They would have called it a kind of sword and shield battle. But we're in a spiritual battle today. Our fighting is for the Lord Jesus, but it's spiritual fighting. We don't use physical means, but spiritual ones. Prayer, the word of God, the Bible. So we need to listen in to this fighting episode. Now, who was this mysterious commander? Have a think. Who do you think it is? You might want to ask, does this remind you of any similar stories in the Bible? Just have a think about that for a minute. There's a couple of other incidents that are pretty similar. Take this. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. That's Numbers 22:31. Remember Balaam and his donkey that he rode, and the donkey wouldn't let him go through the gap? You remember that story? This mysterious commander seems like this guy. He seems like the angel of the Lord who's getting ready to seriously lay down the law with someone or with a nation. Understandable. Are you with us? In verse 14 of the reading that we had, we're told, then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy. And Joshua did so. That second part reminds us of the angel of the Lord who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush in Exodus. This seems to be the angel of the Lord, who many people take to be Christ. Christ before he came and took flesh when he was born as one of us. So a mysterious identity, that's who we're dealing with. Secondly, the wrong question. It's an understandable question that he asks, are you with us? But it's actually the wrong question. The angel will not answer Joshua's question as he wants. You'd imagine the Lord's angel is here to help them fight their way into the land, and that may be so. But he won't buy into Joshua's question. Are you for us or for our enemies? Look at verse 14. He says, neither. I'm told literally, In the Hebrew, that is, no. No, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. The question, Joshua, is not, am I on your side? But, are you on my side? Says this commander. You see, Joshua is so absorbed with getting the job done, getting to the land, doing these things, that he saw himself in the driving seat. So easily we do that. He's moved himself into the driving seat. Wrong way to see it. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, is in the driving seat. So often we come to Jesus asking if he will do the bits we can't do in our salvation. We ask if he will take our human plans and basically do what we want. Jesus, come and add a little bit to my salvation. Jesus, come and baptize my plans that I've already decided upon. You see, the question is not, Jesus, will you get on board with what I want to do for you? The question is, am I on board with him? So, St. John's, are we just doing our own thing? Or are we doing Jesus' plans? It's good to ask this from time to time. Or as an individual Christian, are you absorbed in what you've already decided to do? You've become absorbed with it. And now you're asking Jesus to hop on board with your plans. You know, it's not too late to join in with what Christ is doing. The great big plan of the Lord Jesus is right here for us. And he's working that plan out today. It's always better to join in with his plans anyway. Well, the third thing we're going to see is the right kind of worship. Welcome to Fortress Jericho. This is the story that we all know, isn't it? Chapter 6, verse 1. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Now, this isn't a set of bungalows with a robust wall around it. This is a fortress. And you sort of see how the plan unfolds, looking both strong and weak. Strong if you have the eyes of faith to see what's being planned. Weak if you look at it humanly. We need 7 priests. Don't worry, you'll be going out in front of the ark and you'll have some soldiers behind you. Don't worry, you've got a very important military role and we'll give you some musical instruments. How are you feeling? Good? No, you're going to be feeling totally weak. But don't worry, says the Lord. You see what he says to Joshua in chapter 6, verse 2? See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. It's already agreed. The Lord is going to do it. You are going to be totally weak, he's suggesting to these Israelites. All you have to do is to sound your trumpets. And then everyone shouts. What did they shout? I don't know. Maybe they shouted boo or something like that. And on the 7th day, and this is a bit of a spoiler alert now, by the way. Sorry if you don't know. The walls came down. The walls came down and everyone charged on in. And Rahab, you remember her from a few weeks ago? She's going to be safe as well. As she trusted the Lord, they rescued her out. Now, we're pretty familiar with these things, so I just want to take us to what perhaps we've thought of as a side issue before, but I think it's actually quite a big one. Chapter 6, verse 18, but keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring your own destruction, bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. So the Lord says, don't take their religious stuff, don't take their gold and silver and things. It'll be a snare to you. That's a little prequel to next week's talk. Keep away from the devoted things. So far, so good. The trumpet sounds, the people shout, the wall comes down. Chapter 6, verse 21. Spot the devoted word again. They've been told not to pick up the devoted stuff and to rob it, to take it away. But they've been told this, or rather this is reported of their actions. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it. Devoted is a worship word. That is very deliberate use of language in this book. They're not to worship and to take with them the false things, things associated with the false gods, but they are to worship by doing what the Lord's asked them to do and to kill the Lord's enemies. And if you didn't hear the talk on this, our first talk on Joshua, where Fergus dealt with this thorny topic, then go back to that. But for now, let us see. They've been asked to do it, and it's part of their devoted worship. God brought the city walls down. It is God that saves believers completely. We don't tag him on to the end of saving ourselves. We join in with Jesus' plan, which is such good news, because his plans are always good. They're always good. And he's far above us. He's the mighty Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus is the commander of the Lord's armies, the armies of angels in the heavenlies. And like the people in this story, your worship is holy war as well, but not a physical war. Listen to this, Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. It's worship to offer our bodies to God. Colossians 3, verse 5. What does that involve? Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. You see, we're to kill everything in us that stands against the living God, that rebellion, to put it to death in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is our worship. The way you worship God is by killing the bad stuff that he's told you to kill, which is the sin in your life. It's the wrong stuff that you worship. And to come to a proper worship of him. The way you worship this week is to not look at that internet site you keep going to, but is harmful to you. It's to stop being jealous of your brother or sister in Christ. It's to stop being angry. Whatever that sin is, that's the way that you worship. You kill it and you offer it to God in worship. So I hope that we've enjoyed this quick tour. And it has been a quick tour of Joshua 5 and 6. As we close, the question is not, is Jesus with us? The question is, are we with Jesus?